Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, we're back and we're up to episode 77 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell and Johnny Stofko joins me.
What's up, guys? Episode 77. I remember, this is like our baby. I remember, I don't have any kids, but you know when people are like, I remember when you were 2 years old. I remember our first episode, 77.
He was born?
Yes, dude, in our gym. I remember, oh my God. One of my clients is like, dude, how come I tried listening to those old episodes and I couldn't find them? I'm like, yeah, because we froze them boys.
Yeah, we'll release them after the 100th. We'll release them and you guys can laugh.
Yeah, the thing about it is but you know what? There's lessons there and I feel that...
100%, man.
The biggest...
That's one of the words we were using a lot.
Oh, we said 100%, I think. 100 times.
You can play a drinking game with our first episode.
That's right. Finding ways to fill in space. But we didn't have a system, but I think the most important part is if you're listening at home and you have an idea, you got to just start it. Because if we would have never started it, if we would have never brought that to life or put it into the ethos, we wouldn't be at episode 77. You know, we wouldn't have done L.A., New York, Cleveland, Austin, Miami.
Yeah.
All of it started because we didn't know what we were doing.
You just got to start because there's a million things that we would have done differently if we could go back to the start. But you don't really find that out until you kind of, you know, things
What would you, this is interesting. What would you pick one? We don't have time for a million.
Probably I've never thought start with a lot more episodes under our belts first.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do that. We just went full
one
boy.
One by one. It would have helped us grow organically a little bit more.
Remember how tiring it would be? Yeah. Oh my God.
At the start, we kind of changed different logos a few times.
But like my fitness business, my coaching business at that time, it was like I didn't have any boundaries.
Yeah.
So I was doing crazy amount of sessions.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
We would do podcasts. Like we were just getting them. I think one day we did three.
Yeah, that was on Australia Day. We did three back to back.
Dude, that was exhausting.
Yeah, it was exhausting. Very exhausting.
Was it Romanello Bornstein?
Yes. Yeah.
You got good maybe memory. There was a fighter.
Young Sanders.
Yeah, Luke Sanders. Shout out. Cool Hand Luke, MMA. Follow him on Insta. That's my man.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an interesting start. But even things down from equipment to, like, we're still even trying to figure out how we can kind of record our Skype and phone interviews a little bit better and clearer. But, you know, at the start, we didn't have mics. At the start, even speak to, you know, guys like Lewis Howes, and they're all recording that first, I think, 50 episodes. I think Lewis told me.
He sent me the first one.
50 on his iPhone, and I think that was the same for us. Was about 10. The first 10 was on, I think, an iPhone.
Our first big Skype with Gary.
Yeah, and then we kind of got a little bit better. And we, like I said, we're still tinkering because we're in Sydney. Like we're going to have a few coming up now where we're going to be able to do in person, which is great.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, for example, the Evander Holyfield one, and like it goes from being great quality to low quality to great, and there's sometimes that we just can't avoid it because, you know, we're so far away and it's unfortunately running through a phone. But, you know, we do our best, but we're always going to try and tinker it to give the best out there.
There's a learning curve and you have to get into the water before you can swim. And so you brought up another valid point. Guys listening at home, we get a lot of questions about it. Johnny, man, I want to start a podcast. Could you help me? What would you identify the best way? So I just started a business for Tristan without him knowing right now. Tristan is going to be a podcast consultant. So all questions go to his email because this dude has – guys, if you're listening, email that fool and he'll help you out because Angus wants to do it with his brother. And, you know, the lessons we learn through all that is like, you know, what's the number one advice probably? Do – before you post anything, have something in your back pocket, or would you say technology?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think – depending on the type of show that you want to do, especially if you do an interview show like ourselves, I think if you had like, if you started again and you had five interviews straight up, at least people can kind of see the path that you kind of wanted to go down instead of like...
Who was that you were helping and they were on our show and you gave them that feedback because they wanted to start a show?
Oh, that was Corey.
Yeah, and I remember reading
Corey
that email.
Corey Peacock and Chris Algieri.
Former world champion and Dr. Corey Peacock.
Yeah, they should have a show coming out shortly, so stay tuned, guys. We'll probably give them a little plug when it's out because they're great people.
Yeah, I was reading that email and you were like, I would recommend having some episodes before you go into it because that'll give you room for error. That'll give you room to juggle some things too. But other than that, I guess I need to research or study a little bit more of the whole podcast industry because you just said interview style. Is there a structure or a list of different platforms for podcasting? Because I know some are just one man show with no guests.
Some people just, you know, just want to rant, and that's their
expression.
That's their expression of, you know, their creativity and their knowledge. So there's that sort of style.
Yeah. So we are creating.
You got someone like a Joe Rogan who will bring, well, virtually can. He's got every single genre.
He's the pod father.
And he's more of a conversation / he's intrigued by someone. That's the kind of impression I get from him. He wants to learn from someone.
Yes.
And then you've got a style like a Lewis House where he's more, I want to bring you inspiration and something for you to learn from. You've got another one, probably Fighter and the Kid, where they virtually have comedians, entertainers, fighters, and they're more, we want to entertain you. That's their style.
What do you think ours is? Right now,
our style is probably a cross between Joe and Lewis, where I feel that we want to learn. We're still in a stage of learning from people and being intrigued by people, but at the same time want to bring some sort of inspirational message and let people kind of find their own path. So
the unique thing, well, the unique thing about this is, as we continue to grow, this isn't something that you and I have sat down about early and had a plan of attack for. All right, this is going to be our style.
Yeah.
This is, we really just each, sometimes with each episode, it'll hit me and be like, oh, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Or we've taken a hard approach too, because at the start, there was a lot of fighters, but, you know, realistically, there's only so many fighters I want to interview, but, you know,
especially if they're in the,
yeah, we got a lot of fight fans, so we will still bring you the best guys out there, but realistically, I think that you'll get a lot more out of finding from not only different sports, authors, teachers, kind of different genres. I think that will help you grow as a person more than just listening to your heroes.
Here's my opinion of what the vision board is now. It's mindset. We bring to the table, fill in the blanks, a champion fighter, an author, a businessman, a CEO, a president of a company. But at the end of the day, we break through that layer and we allow them to highlight their mindset, and we ask questions to give advice to our listeners about what it takes to get to their level, their thought processes, overcoming adversity. And I think that is becoming the clearer outlook, you know, figuring out a way how to get in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, identify and show what specific mindset it would take if you're in this specific field industry, because there's parallels with everything. The fighter mindset, the entrepreneurial mindset, very similar.
Yep.
And it's just basically, I think, especially getting people who have already done something super successful, and then our listeners, because if we were just talking about what an entrepreneurial mindset is, and we're yet to get to where we want to go, that's one thing. So if we weren't interviewing, if our podcast was just us talking about it, would be different. But because we're bringing the Grant Cardones on the world, who's like a billionaire, now that's where the listeners could be like, oh shit, this is applicable.
Yeah.
These guys are walking that path.
Well, I guess that's the thing, application, people giving some ideas for people to try and execute. So I think that's probably where our show kind of lies at the moment. But, you know, we're up to episode, 77 or something, and 76, 77. But, you know, where were we after 20? Like, we've got a different mindset now than we were at 20. So I'm sure it's going to be different when we're at 120 than it is 79. So it's one of the things that we're learning every week and becoming better at different little skills. So I'm sure. And hopefully we're going to bring it even better for you guys. So we hope you're enjoying it so far.
And any publishers out there, if you're listening, email us, info@divisionboardpodcast.com. If you've written a book, email us at info@divisionboardpodcast.com. Off the beaten path, baby.
All right. So just turning to our guest today, Johnny, we've got Sean Stevenson. So Sean, he's got a great show. It's the Model Health Show on iTunes. It's one of the top ranked shows in health across the world. And we're excited to have him on. He's a fitness and nutrition expert. He's going to give us some really big insights. He's huge on sleep. He's written a whole book on it. So we're going to pick his brain a little bit on that, and also on nutrition training. It's going to be a great episode.
This is one of those episodes, though, where I wish it was a five-part series. I could start a podcast around just Sean, interviewing him in 10 different segments about sleep, about his interview style with the Model Health Show, about his story, his CEO of an integrated health business, Secrets to Success, Overcoming Adversity. He's an inspiration. His style of speaking, if you guys have never listened to his show, The Model Health Show, He's super, like, he brings so much energy to the table, and he's so educated.
He's got an awesome voice, man.
Yeah, we didn't, dude, his education is ridiculous. Like, how smart he is.
When did he graduate from Missouri? University of Missouri? Missouri.
He's from Alou, and he's proud to run a mile.
Yeah, man. Dogs. Featured on Entrepreneur Magazine, Men's Health, ESPN, Fox News, Vision Board Podcast.
So yeah, dude's TVBP player.
Yeah, so the guy is flying. Before we bring him on, just remember, please subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. Please leave us a quick 5-star review. Johnny, our ebook online, man.
Yeah, go to our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/ebook, which Tristan and I there have compiled a formatted framework to strengthen your core, get it aesthetically sound to, up to our likings. We've also attached a nutrition sample of what pretty much what it takes to get into a consistent pattern to have your core strong, also looking good. It's a free download. Go to that link, put in your email. We'll send it straight to your inbox. It takes about 10 seconds.
Awesome, man. So, guys, like Johnny said, it's free. So, check it out on the website. Also, check out Onnit. They're one of our major sponsors. Use coupon code VISIONBOARD at checkout for 10% off. I just picked up some Alpha Brain and I've been experimenting a little bit with that. And I've got to be honest with you. It's been working. My mind's clear. Clarity's good. And I'm sleeping a lot better. So,
there you go.
Shout out. You know, I'm being serious. Like, Johnny's raved about it before, so I like to think myself. And, you know, I've tried it out, and I've got to be honest, it's really, really good.
Yeah, guys, go check their products out from our page, visionboard.com/onnit. If you have any questions about what products to take, send us an email or message at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Also, if you haven't checked it out, go to Onnit, go to their YouTube channel, go to episode 103. You'll check out Johnny and Tristan. Yeah, when we were visiting in the U.S., we stopped down in Austin at their training facilities, the Jody Training Center down there. And, ended up getting on their show, got to see a behind-the-scenes tour, how the magic happens with all of their products, the production, the creativity. We were in Aubrey's office doing the show. It was just an awesome company to be a part of. And if you have any questions, send us an email.
Definitely. So, Shrima, check out code VISIONBOARD for 10% off. So, get your Onnit needs. Check out the website for some training stuff. And, guys, I think you'll be better off for it.
No doubt they will be. Excellent, too, as well, because it's not just products that, you know, they market and promote with pictures. It's the stories. It's the evidence. It's the science base behind each supplement. And that was initially what drew me in. And that's what I tell my clients. I'm not one of these coaches to say, I take this, everyone take this. I send them information on what I take, and then it's up to them. And then if you have any questions, you know, you could ask me about it. But I'm not going to send you something that I don't take. And I feel that's really important as well.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, man. And I don't think I could have said it any better, my friend.
Tristan Cannell, dropping bombs.
All right, let's get Sean Stevenson on, John.
Yeah, buddy.
But our special guest is Sean Stevenson. Sean is a fitness and nutrition expert. He's got a great new book just released at the start of the year, Sleep Smarter, 21 Essential Strategies to Sleep Your Way to a Better Body, Better Health, and Better Success. He's the creator of the Model Health Show. He's a graduate of the University of Missouri in St. Louis and has been featured in the likes of Entrepreneur Magazine, Men's Health, ESPN, and Fox News. We welcome Sean Stevenson. Sean, my man, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, Sean, that intro was awesome. All of the things Tristan aforementioned are very impressive. Could you share with our listeners, where does that inner drive come from, and what is your mission? What is your goal on what that imprint you want to leave on people?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. That inner drive, really for me, it comes from when I was a little kid, man. You know, the early part of my life was beautiful, you know. And this, you don't usually hear that from people with great stories. But the first, you know, 6 years, 7 years of my life, I had that magical life, man. I lived with my grandparents. My grandmother loved me so much, unconditional love. Birthdays were magical. I remember Easter, you know, like she had me going like a treasure hunt throughout the house when I first learned to read and finding little clues. I do not remember her ever even raising her voice at me. You know, and not saying that that's great parenting, but it's just there was so much love and patience and understanding in that household. And it gave me a really powerful blueprint and also a very strong connection to education because she was so patient with me. And I remember, you know, sitting there at my little table and learning how to write with her and just becoming just fascinated with learning and being able to communicate. And fast forward a little bit, second grade after second grade, I go to live with my mother. And I never met my biological father, so this was she was with my stepfather. And it was a like a 180 in my life, you know. Very difficult circumstances, you know, sleeping on the floor, you know, mice, roaches, a lot of just, you know, heavily processed food and, you know, not living in the best neighborhoods, you know. But what was so beautiful about that circumstance is I really developed this amazing, I became acclimated to the need that no matter what happens the day before, you get up and you go to work. No matter what happens, you get up and you go handle your responsibilities. So I always saw that with my mother and my stepfather that, you know, even if he was, which is not a good circumstance, again, just out of his mind drunk the night before, he still got up and went to work. And there's positive things you can glean from that, but also obviously it's not a great circumstance. So anyways, you know, we lived in bad neighborhoods. Gangs were, you know, gang members were my idols, you know. And, you know, we lived next door to a crack house at one point. You know, it's just I seen a lot of stuff with my young eyes that I wouldn't want anybody else to have to go through. But again, I had that reference point for this beautiful life. And so I knew that both were possible. And with my upbringing, so as I got closer and closer to high school, it really started to just kind of kick in that I'm going to create the life that I want. There's nothing that's going to stop me from doing this. But fate had other plans, and something did show up to stop me temporarily. And that was this incurable disease that I was diagnosed with called degenerative bone disease, degenerative spinal disease. And long story short, just to kind of traverse through that story, I was diagnosed when I was 20 years old. Wow. My physician told me that there was no cure. There's nothing I can do about it. I asked him, and guys, like to this day, it's like so fresh in my memory. I asked him, does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? Should I change the way I'm exercising? And he like cocked his head and like looked at me like I was just from another planet. Like, who are you? What kind of, and he told me this has absolutely nothing to do with what you're eating. But then he went on to write me a prescription to eat some drugs.
Yeah.
Right. He said, this has nothing to do with what you're eating, but go ahead and eat these pills anyways.
Yeah.
I got fitted for a back brace eventually. And my life from that point began to take a dramatic downslide. And over the next 2 years, I gained a bunch of weight, about 50 pounds, chronic pain on a bunch of medications, depression, loss of life and purpose, like my reasoning, very close to that. Let me say I'm still hanging on by a thread because it's still in me that I'm special. You know, there's something, and it comes back to my grandmother, and this is what I want to share with everybody, is just it's so important to be that for other people, to give that little extra bit of faith in somebody. To let them know that they matter, to let them know that they're significant, to let them know that they're special, because that stuck around with me in those dark times. And it was because of her that, you know, I was kind of sitting there on the edge of my bed about to take my pills to kind of knock me out. Like, sleep was the most difficult thing for me at this time in my life. And it just came rushing in that the last 2 years of my life I lost because I had been forfeiting my ability to do anything about it. Waiting around for somebody to come and save me, this new doctor to tell me that, yeah, of course there's something we could do, whatever, you know, some kind of miracle something. And that never showed up. So I just cast my ballot to do nothing. And so it really hit me. And last thing I want people to take away is this from this story is I made the decision in that moment to get well. And what's so crazy is that it sounds so simple and you can look past it like, okay. But most people never do that. We never do that when it comes to starting our business or having a great relationship or changing our body and creating the body that we want. It's more like I'll try. I'll see if this will work. I'll give this a shot. I wish this would work. I hope. It's very passive
yeah.
and disempowering thinking the way that we approach our lives. And so when you make a real decision about something, Latin day meaning from, kaidir, which means to cut, you cut away all possibility of anything else but that thing. You become focused, hyper-focused on that thing. And for me, it was wellness, health, and being not just not getting my life back, but getting the best life possible. And to kind of long story long, put the bow on the story, I employed three specific things because I am a scientist, you know, and even then I was very analytical person. Today I'm a scientist, but very analytical person. And I put a plan together that entailed three specific things, which included the nutrition, movement, and rest and recovery to really rebuild my body. And I just want to share one small thing with you guys. So I regenerated the tissue in my spine. Spoiler alert, that they said was impossible.
Yeah, buddy.
And so how I did this was, just really quick for everybody, I asked the question, what is my spine actually made out of? What are the disc in between my vertebrae made out of that was so deteriorated? I had two ruptured discs, actually, because my spine was so unstable, having me in this chronic pain. And so I asked the question, what are these things made of? And I started to find all of these things that I never heard about in my college biology classes or in my nutrition class that I even took in college, with my intention to go pre-med when I got into school initially, but then I got out of it because I didn't really like science. I couldn't stand it, which is my passion today, which is crazy. But I wasn't taught this stuff. And it was things like silica, sulfur-bearing amino acids, polysaccharides, you know, enzymes. What the hell is an enzyme? Like, as far as my body's concerned, I really wasn't taught that in a way that related to me. And so it hit me like a ton of bricks. I had been eating what I called the tough diet up until that point, typical university food, all right? I'm like gobbling down Papa John's and donuts and all this stuff. And I wasn't getting any of those raw materials for my body to rebuild itself. So yeah. I started to flood my tissues with those things, employed some movement strategies that was clinically proven. I came across research finding that movement helps the assimilation of nutrients and detoxification of metabolic waste. But then the big thing was, if you're not sleeping, you're not healing. And every night, like I said, was my greatest battle, was when I laid my head on that pillow every night. And so the things that I changed during my waking hours dramatically changed my sleep quality. And within about 6 weeks from that moment of decision, I lost 28 pounds. The pain I've been experiencing for 2 years was gone. And I eventually got a scan done, again, you know, regenerate the tissue. It actually grew half an inch when I lost like 3/4 of an inch in my height. And that was the birthing of my career, as, you know, professors at my school started to ask me what I did, fellow students, faculty. And I began working at the university, graduated, opened my clinic, you know, started writing books and speaking all over the place. And I'm here with you guys today.
Yeah, Sean, that whole story you just shared with us is very, very, like, impressive. There's so many adjectives, but I want to go back to when you're that guy, that 20-year-old on the bed with the medicine that was given to you by a doctor. And I feel that is, for people listening at home, I think we attach ourselves to what to do because somebody else told us it was right. So take this medicine because that's the only option you have. And when you said you chose to take an action after, you know, a couple years of being sedentary, if we just stayed in that headspace with so many people stuck with being afraid to take action and choosing not to, I guess, go against what people were telling them, the doctors, etc., what's the best advice for those people listening right now to take action that you feel that helped for you?
You know, We talked a little bit about this before the show. There's something to be said about adversity. There's something to be said about struggle. There's something to be said about hitting the enough is enough rock bottom, you know. And for me, I was on the ground floor and there was only up from there, or give up, completely give up. And all those are options for us. And, you know, I think that's a good place to be. I had my feet on solid ground because I was so low. But it was just really, I think it's understanding human psychology a little bit and understanding our own psychology, because we walk around in these amazing bodies and we have these amazing minds that we don't fully embrace, we don't fully understand, we don't fully live in our bodies and analyze our thoughts and the questions that we're asking. And so for me, the catalyst, the real catalyst, and that I would want to share with everyone is, I had unknowingly been programming my thought pattern to always look for problems because I was asking disempowering things all the time. Why me? Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why won't somebody help me? And there's parts of your reticular activating system, your reticular cortex. There's certain parts of your brain that are always, they're literally seeking out, scanning your environment, to answer the questions that you ask it all the time. Like, it's literally like if you're at, like, where is this restaurant, for example? Like, your brain is scanning, looking, but it's doing that on a subliminal level all the time, any question you ask. So when you ask a disempowering question like, why me? You're going to find all kinds of data to support why you and why everything sucks right now. You know, so for me, it was like more pain came up, like my relationships are horrible, the way that I'm conducting myself in my relationships, the way that I'm eating, the way that I'm thinking, how I'm not showing up to class because I'm embarrassed because I got a back brace. Like, all these negative things would come up for me all the time. And I couldn't, like, this positive whatever, this think positive whatever, BS, it just didn't apply to me. And so it wasn't until I started to change the questions that I was asking, the quality of questions. And that happened that night with the moment, that kind of decision-making time. And I asked, what is it that I need to learn from this situation? What is it that this is trying, what is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to teach me? And something I would also encourage people to do is ask, what qualities are trying to emerge in my life? What gifts are trying to present themselves in my life? What qualities do I have that are not, they're dormant right now? And this situation is here to bring those out of me. It might be more patience, compassion, strength, will to do the thing. It might be learning from not being in a certain place or a certain relationship or whatever the case may be. But every challenge that we're in is a gift. It's a gift. It's like two sides of the same coin. We can't have a problem without a solution. It's two sides of the same coin. But we oftentimes get so focused on this one side, we don't realize, like, there can't be a question without an answer. You know, so I think that would be the real catalyst for people, is to really utilize the power of your own psychology and ask more empowering questions. And last thing with that is, you also have to be willing to listen when the answer is presenting, because it can happen within seconds. You will know already, and we'll talk ourselves out of it. You have to be willing to take the action, because that problem is there to help some crazy kind of way. Whatever goal you have in your life, whatever direction you're walking towards, you might not be the type of person that's ready for that life that you say you want. And there's a gift in this for you. And I promise you, things can get better, but we have to be willing to take that action when we ask that question.
Yeah. Sean, when you spoke about hitting rock bottom, was there a particular person that helped you get out of that situation?
You know, I mean, it was just having that model from when I was a kid, man. I was very isolated at this time. I was very, very solitary situation, solitary confinement for myself.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of that presence, that memory of love and belief that my grandmother instilled in me, and even my mother as well, you know, telling people that, you know, Sean's going to do all this amazing stuff, you know, he's so smart. But I wasn't acting like that. Like, my life wasn't matching up to what I believed I was supposed to do. And so, but that spark was still there. And it was about starting to take care of that spark, starting to, you know, add some wood to the flame to grow it, you know. So there wasn't anybody specifically. There were a lot of books that came my way. You know the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yeah. And that's because I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any role models. I didn't have anybody who was a mentor or somebody that was guiding me or somebody that I knew that was even successful. I didn't even know what that was like. When I was in college, I lived in Ferguson, Missouri. I don't, you know, with the media in Australia, I don't know if that's...
Oh, it made, you know, news. It made news here for sure, what went down.
Yeah, so even in college, I didn't have role models. I didn't have people to, you know, show me what was possible. But I got that from getting myself out of the environment mentally and going into these books, going into the different... big thing at the time was like... audio summits for these health summits. I would buy them with money I didn't have, you know, and like take all these furious notes. I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of notebooks, and it transformed. It helped to bring those qualities out of me that I've been asking for.
What's your opinion on, because I went through, man, I spent 7 years in Southern California and the last two in my 20s, and the last two were really probably the lowest of my life. You know, things just tend to compile and snowball. And I isolated myself, and I hadn't flown home to Ohio for like a few years, and my family thought that, do you know what I mean? What is it about our mental that you feel that, do you feel it's a defense mechanism? That, because for me, I didn't want to put what I was going through on other people, and I didn't have a, like you said, you didn't have a mentor, so I had to detach myself from the scenario and I moved, and that, you know, that really helped me. Not everyone could do that. You know, if you're if you're listening at home, guys, and you're going through something like this, I would recommend making that phone call to a parent, or, you know, calling a good friend in these scenarios, because I didn't do it, and I probably would have been able to expedite the process of my healing. What's your opinion on that?
I love that, man. You know, first, there's something to be said about feminine and masculine energy. You know, with men and women, we approach things differently. And we just do. I'm about to talk with the guy who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, John Gray, in a few days. And just in being in these conversations, and we all have both. We have both energies. But, you know, guys tend to be a little bit more isolated and trying to self-process. Whereas women have a tendency to be more nurturing and open and don't approach things like we do. So I don't think that the action step would be as difficult for a woman. And this isn't true across the board. I mean, we definitely have more, you know, a little bit more feminine energy with men in certain capacities and more masculine for women in certain capacities. But that's one thing. So I don't think that's a big issue for everybody across the board. I think it's geared a little bit more towards men. I remember my grandmother calling me, actually, and like it was annoying to me looking back on it. It was just like, why are you calling me? I'm fine. She knew something wasn't fine. She knew, and women always know, you know, it's more of intuitive, like they're tapped in, they know when there's something wrong. Yeah. There's no when there's something off. But it wasn't, this is what the bottom line is, that things weren't going to change external to myself. Like when I was going through that process, no matter what I wanted to be or what some, let me put it like this, no matter what somebody else wanted me to be, if I would have gotten into a relationship, for example, she couldn't have changed me. Like I had to be ready, you know? And so for me, it was really just kind of working on my own readiness, and it wouldn't have mattered what was going on around me, any kind of support, anything like that. I think that's wonderful, but you have to make the decision to trust. And that's a very difficult thing to do when you've been hurt, when you've been in a lot of pain. But, you know, long story short here, but like spoiler alert for people who have issues with trust, you will not be happy in life until you learn to trust, you know, because that's part of the game. It's like we are in fear of other people hurting us.
Yeah.
But we won't know love unless we put ourselves in position for someone else to hurt us, you know. So really kind of getting over our fears of trust and trusting another human being or many human beings, and creating that strength within ourselves so that no matter what somebody else does, we are still strong, we're still standing, we're still able to move forward. And that's what it's really about.
Yeah. If you could offer like one piece of advice about trust and breaking through that barrier, what would that be?
Wow, that's a great question. That's a really great question. This is the first thing that pops up for me.
Yeah, because it's something that I struggle with. I'm pretty sure John.
For sure, trust is a huge thing, because we put ourselves so vulnerable and pretty much naked in those scenarios, and a lot of people avoid that.
You know, there's a word that's used and drug through the mud a lot, and it's faith. You know, a lot of people say they have faith, but they're not practicing the things they say they believe. You know, it's not really intelligent faith. So what I would encourage us to do is to have intelligent trust, intelligent faith in another person. So this is faith that's warranted by our own intelligent perception, like looking at things from a global perspective, not just trusting in somebody because we think it's a good idea or we really should, but have some intelligence behind it, have some evidence to support that trust. That's not wrong. You know, that's not wrong. That's not being judgmental, that's being intelligent, you know. So a lot of us, we have snap judgments about people. Okay, so when we meet somebody, for example, we make snap judgments, and we might be based on the way they're dressed or the way that they walk or whatever the case may be. And that's a different thing. So we do make snap judgments, but we have to allow ourselves to be more intelligent to find out a little bit more about that person. You know, listen to them talk, listen to how they present themselves, listen to, find out more about the person so that you can make an educated decision on trust, you know. And also, this goes back to that same thing that I mentioned earlier in the context of women tend to have more more grace in this, which is the intuition. You know, you're like, you are that gut feeling. I'm a scientist, so it's even difficult for me to talk about this, you know. But, you know, if you study like metaphysics, quantum physics, there's a lot of things that we don't really get yet. Mm. But there's this, well, I'll bring some science to the table here. So there's a device that they can use. It's called a magnetoencephalograph. And if you look at this and you do a scan of the human body, you see that we have a magnetic field that moves out, specifically electromagnetic field from our hearts that radiate and move out from our bodies about 8 feet, all right, in diameter. 8 feet.
That's
wild. This energy field that we are broadcasting, all right? And if people want to look more into this, you can check out, just go to Dr. Google, look at heart math, and you can find out some work about this. But so you've got that, and other people, if you're in the presence of with another person, you literally are syncing up, like your bodies, your biorhythms, your electromagnetic fields are syncing up, and you can pick up a lot more about them because you're exchanging in this field. And if you even look at work from Princeton researchers found that when two people are in a conversation, just two people talking to each other face to face, your brains literally sync up within a few minutes. Like your brain waves sync up with another human. Your brains are on the same chord. Yeah. We're hardwired to do that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Have you read anything about, more on the spiritual level, like people being empaths? Like some people are clairvoyant, some people are empaths, to where if you're unaware of this, if you're listening, so you might be the person, you walk into a room or you're at a little party and somebody walks in and you kind of think to yourself, man, I wish this person wouldn't have walked in here. You just don't, their energy, you're kind of really sensitive to that energy. Or somebody walks into the room and you're like, you're stoked. You're like, I'm super glad this person came into my space. And if you're not aware of that, that could be draining, or you could also get mass benefits from that, to where I used to work for a leadership company. We had a sign in the workspace and it said, be aware of the energy that you bring into this room. Because both positive and negative, it will have an impact on people. And I think that's what, one of my favorite humans with writing was Maya Angelou. And that one of my favorite sayings was, you can tell a person anything, they'll never remember what you said, they'll always remember how you made them feel. And I think that's all connected with the device you said, for people to go to Dr. Google, and you know how we carry ourselves and how we treat people. And I think that that's the equation.
I totally agree. And what you said, we all have that capacity. It's just some people are more sensitive than others. And this is something that, again, unless I saw some hard science and also experienced it myself, I'd be like, whatever, man. Like, that's a little bit too Patrick Swayze ghost for me, man. Like, it's just, you know. So what I've experienced is, you know, there was a time when I was, like, experimenting with a lot of fasting and eating more, like, living foods and things like that. So so even when I'm talking about this, it's coming from a very analytical perspective. So why am I feeling more sensitive to my environment? First of all, your brain and your nervous system are insulated by fat. All right, your brain is mostly fat and water. And your nervous system, that if you think about the human body, like that picture of like when you can see the diagram or outline of the human body with all the veins spread throughout the body, if you think of that human picture that you see in like an anatomy book, and we've got all this wiring, right? So your nervous system looks very similar to that, right? It's this wiring all throughout your body. And it's how your body is processing and reading your environment, sending that data through your body. So your nervous system is like, fats are like insulation for your nervous system. And basically, if I'm looking at this microphone here, it's got this cord. And inside of this cord, there are all of these wires, right? These metal wires that it has this coating over it to protect it, because if it didn't have this coating, it would be far more susceptible to environmental influences, right? So this could be extreme hot, extreme cold, wetness, whatever, right, it would be much more likely to short out if it didn't have this insulation. So the human body, that insulation for our nervous system, our wiring, is fat, all right? So this is why dietary fat matters in this whole conversation. But bottom line is this, when you're deficient in those things and you're not getting the right types of fats for your body to have that insulation, because again, your body cannot build what it doesn't have the raw materials to do, you start to become hypersensitive to your environment, right? And so for me, when I was doing that experiment, I was definitely picking up a lot of people's stuff, like a lot easier, you know, just really, I couldn't go into a Walmart, man.
Yeah,
like
for
if
sure.
I went into a Walmart, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
Just all of that, just toxicity and all the energy. I'll be wiped out for like the rest of the day, just going in there and into a Walmart, you know, where people are literally like, if you look at the shopping carts, it's just full of, you know, frozen pizzas and Hot Pockets and soda.
The music, and, you know, and the just, lights, all that stimulus is crazy.
Yeah,
and also, you know, there tends to be a, you know, that a greater sense of desperation also, you know, in a lot of places around the country. And I definitely experienced that firsthand, but it, even then, like looking back on it, still kind of like, that maybe, you know, maybe it's just I'm thinking this up, but I know how it felt. And I know that once I got more grounded, and really solidified my nutrition, I can still feel it, but not like I used to. You know, like it's more so I can consciously, I got to turn it on, like think about it more, rather than just be at the mercy of my environment. So I hope that makes sense.
We hope you're enjoying the episode with Sean Stevenson. Remember to go back and check out some of our previous episodes with the likes of Sam Ovens, Badrus Koulian, and heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield. Remember to subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a quick 5-star review. Now back to the show. Hey, Sean, you mentioned fats and healthy fats and how it's helped you. Can you just give us a little insight onto maybe some of the healthy fats you're eating and just your day-to-day training and nutrition as well?
Okay, sure. Yeah, wow. So I have my practice and consulting company for a long time, for over 10 years. And we were very successful working with a lot of companies and individuals. And I went through phases, definitely, I think, a lot of people, pretty much everybody in this space will go through that phase. Hopefully they grow out of it, of being very dogmatic and like my way is the way, you know? So whether it was a vegetarian diet or a paleo diet or a South Beach diet or Atkins diet or whatever framework you wanted to use, if you believe that was the thing, you know, low fat diet, high carb, low fat, which is what I was taught in, in the university setting. Mm. So what developed for me was this kind of insight, like it just happened, like overnight, it just kind of clicked, like everybody's different, and what works for me might not work for this person, so why would I make them do this thing, you know? So I started to ask questions and look into people's, you know, their heritage, you know, what's their background, their ethnic background, what did their ancestors eat, right? That can give me a far better marker of what they should be eating than, you know, this ridiculous textbook that's, you know, that, you know, this research is funded by General Mills, right?
Yeah,
that
right.
makes breakfast cereal, you know, Fruit Loops. So, and Fruit Loops, by the way, they're whole grain now, right? They're whole grain Fruit Loops.
So they're
Come
healthy,
on, man.
Right? I know. That whole, dude, like, all you really have to do, I heard it simplified a few years back, man, I'm getting maybe 15 years ago, is the whole model of the grocery store, the market, especially in America, because that model really isn't the same. And I mean, I've only lived in Sydney, but the Sydney model is pretty much an open air sort of, even though if there's a ceiling, there's like fresh produce throughout the aisles. But in America, it's like all of the aisles are processed. And you really have to go circular, like the exterior part of the store to find the meats, the vegetables sort of thing.
Exterior is always.
And man, like you said, Fruit Loops are now whole grain, so they're healthy now, right?
Right, right, man. Just wink, wink. No,
yeah,
man, it's crazy, you know. And the thing is, like, who does that? Who just shops on the outside of the store?
Yeah, no.
It's very few and far in between how many people do that. And so, but for me, with the fats, I look at what have people been eating the longest and what resonates with my body. And I also have to be willing to be wrong. I have to be willing to change, because what works today might not work next week or next year.
Mm.
You know, even though we fall in love, like grass-fed butter, you get the benefits from the CLA, right? Incredible for your brain, just absolutely incredible. And one of the best sources in nature that you're going to find it is in butter, specifically grass-fed butter. And if you look at the research, you'll find that the animal tissues and products that aren't, like, specifically we're talking about ruminant animals, so for cows specifically, that are not eating a natural diet. So cows that are grain fed, you know, corn, soy, you know, this little nice mixture that they get, along with antibiotics, by the way, growth hormone, because they're sick, because they're not eating their natural diet. Those tissues and those animal products, the milk, cheese, whatever that's resulting from that, is lower in the most beneficial omega-3 fatty acids, the anti-inflammatory fatty acids that we're going for. Yeah. Right, that's the stuff that we want. That's the good stuff we're going for. Right across the board, clinically proven, they have higher ratio of omega-6 fatty acids in their tissues and their products, which are the more pro-inflammatory fatty acids. So this creates more inflammation in your body, right? So if we're going for that CLA, grass-fed butter is a great choice. It's more recent that I've been using that more because it feels good right now. But for probably, oh, man. Going on 10 years, I've been utilizing coconut oil predominantly, you know, for all my cooking purposes. I use coconut oil. Like, I saw the other day, like, on Instagram, there's a picture of a lion with, like, really sexy hair. And it's like, coconut oil is my secret, right, on the little meme, you know. And so it's like coconut oil for everything. So I use it topically as well on my skin and cooking purposes. Also, just, you know, putting it into – I've been making – like elixirs for many years as well, over 10 years, like blending fats into drinks, you know. So whether it's like a hot chocolate I used to make way back in the day is kind of where I started making this stuff, or tea. I'm a big fan of teas today. I'm a tea connoisseur, specifically medicinal mushroom teas. Like today I had cordyceps, dual extracted cordyceps, or maybe I have lion's mane or reishi or chaga.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
The reishi mushroom. Are you messing with that one? Am I pronouncing that right? R-E-I-S-I?
Yeah. Yeah. Reishi. So that one, that's Ganoderma. A lot of people might know it by that name. Yeah. It's been kind of heavily marketed. But if you look at the research with reishi, it is mind-blowing. When you see that reishi leads to about a 300% increase in your body's natural killer cell activity. All right. So your NK cells, these are the cells, it's kind of like immune system training for your NK cells. They become more equipped at battling any type of nefarious thing your body's exposed to, basically.
Yeah.
And so when I'm saying that, I'm not just saying that just because it sounds good. So what the research found is that reishi is an immunomodulator. So what would we want our immune system to be more active? Not necessarily, because that could be something along the lines of autoimmunity, where it's too active and hurting us. But they found it's immunomodulator. So that means if your immune system is running too low and it needs to be higher, it brings it up. If your immune system is running too high and it needs to be brought down, it helps to bring your immune system back down to a baseline.
Yeah.
There are very few things in nature that have that kind of power. That's powerful, man. And we have access to that. But if we don't know, then we're just going to probably eat a Pop-Tart. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, we have all of this stuff available, but this is why we're doing what we're doing, to help people know the difference.
Yeah, guys, if you're listening at home, we're going to plug our sponsor. On It has that product we always talk about, Shroom Tech, and that contains four ancient mushrooms. And that's one of the benefits, is like brain function and optimizing your potential, especially with cognitive thinking. But, Sean, back to, have you ever read anything about when you were talking about the cows and the hormones? I was reading this this awesome article by a guy named Steve Rinella. He's the host of a podcast called Meat Eater, and he was talking about animals. The best meats to eat are the animal, like game animals, because the ones that are used to being like having predators. Because in like cows aren't game animals; they're put in like, and then chickens as well, because they're put in this state of fear because they know they're gonna die, and they're secreting certain hormones and chemicals during that death process. And it's better to be, if you're going to eat meat, to maybe eat venison or deer or something that gets hunted along those lines. Have you ever read anything about that?
Man, this is, if we just talk about evolutionary biology, anything along those lines, we look at what have humans been doing the longest. So we've domesticated. If you, man, if you start to research what cows, where they come from,
it's, yeah,
those are beasts, like beasts. We've heavily domesticated these animals for the purpose of, you know, it's this kind of
consuming
husbandry, right? Where we're utilizing them mass production for meat and for milk and cheese and things like that. And yes, obviously, you know, it's just like if you just look at evolution, you're going to get a lower quality product from that, you know, versus wild game. But also the reality is not many people are in a position to do that, nor will they want to do that. We don't as a community, you know, as a community here in this country, as a society, we don't want to see where our food comes from.
Yeah.
Right? If we do that, then we'll have a real big problem overnight with a lot of people becoming vegetarian because they see the mass destruction going on with factory farming. Yeah. And then we go too far off the other end, not understanding that that's not normal for anybody involved. You know, it's not about don't eat beef. It's about is the animal actually living a natural life as possible as it can, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, that's like super, super obvious, important if we look at it from the global perspective. But then if we dive in even deeper and you look at the ratio of nutrients in these animal tissues, and one of the things you brought up was the higher levels of stress, which is going to and this is one of the things that it's not clear yet in the evidence, but I would assume it's, again, just looking at things from a global perspective, we're eating, when you eat an animal's tissues, you're eating their hormones as well. You know, especially like dairy. Like if you're drinking the animal's milk, you're getting like a hormonal soup. And so if that animal is more stressed, yes, absolutely, you're going to be taking on those things. The data doesn't necessarily show that yet, but this is something I think is going to be coming soon. And also organ meats.
I was just going to say that. I was waiting for it. Like, it's, he said that it's only been 100 years that we started eating muscle, like breast muscle meat, and our ancestors were... Like, even if you look at a predator animal in the wild, when they catch their prey, they go straight for the organs. They're not eating, like, muscle meat. Could you share with us the relevance and then the parallels or the differences with that?
Oh, man, there's just some rare nutrients that you're going to be able to access that you don't find anywhere else in nature, or especially in that concentration. You know, so, wow. But let me, before I get to that, let me preface this, because as soon as people hear organ meats, it could be a little bit creepy.
Yeah, and gross, like kidneys, like, liver, brains. Right. Yeah.
Who wants to eat a heart, you know? But
actually, chicken hearts are good, man. Have you had them?
So of course, I've had, there's pretty much nothing you could name that I haven't had.
Brazilian barbecue.
Tristan took me to this Brazilian barbecue, and that's the first time I had a chicken heart, and I was blown away by it.
Man, it's good.
That's the thing. Thank you, guys. That's what I was trying to get to the point, was like, you have to know how to prepare it. Yeah. Or have somebody that knows how to prepare it. And so a lot of ways that I would get some of these foods into my body, because at first I was definitely like very sketchy about it, was this particular farmer that I would go to who puts it all into a sausage. You know, so it's mixed up with the brain, the liver, and also some of the meat as well, right? Some of the muscle tissue as well. So it had a nice balance. It tasted phenomenal, right? And so that's one of the ways I could sneak it into my body. Making pâtés, things like that can be really helpful. You know, you put it on some whatever, you know, some, I don't know, some crackers or some kale chips or whatever you're into. You know, just like there's different ways to get this stuff into your body. But bottom line. All right, so here's the thing.
Drop it. Let's hear it.
All right. Well, let me give one more heads up. These things can also be, when we're talking about wild game, you know, you hear these terms in culture like gamey, right? It tastes very gamey. And it's a different kind of experience that we have to be open to. You know, so I'm assuming, so both of you guys have obviously already had organ meats then.
For sure.
My mom used to trick me.
But I used to have, so I, you know, some of my buddies growing up, every Sunday I'd go over the house and so chitlins. And man, like the smell and the taste was something foreign to me, but I was 7 years old experimenting with food. So yeah. I'm at a stage now where I'm open for anything.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, my mom tricked me into eating chicken nugget brains.
Wow.
Like, it was crazy.
That's a good mom.
Yeah.
That happened to me too, man. My mom gave me, she called them beef strips, but they was really deer strips, right? Breaded them up and I killed them. Like, I just tore it up with some ketchup and, you know, but then she told me afterwards it was deer and I just flipped out, man.
That's the same as me too.
So, okay, here's some of the big things. And I want to cover really quickly with the organ meats. It's very rare in nature to find the right kind of vitamin A. All right. So listen clearly to this. This is super important. When you hear something is rich in vitamin A, that doesn't tell you the whole story because there are actually multiple forms of vitamin A, right? So the vitamin A you get from a synthetic supplement in a Walmart, back to Walmart again, is very different from the vitamin A that you would find in organ meats, right? Also B12, like there's four different B12s. There's like a B12 analog that you find in something like spirulina. You know, for the longest, like, people promoted spirulina as being high source of B12 for vegetarians, but it's just not so. Your body doesn't utilize it the same way because it's not the form that the human body is acclimated to using for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So vitamin A, if you look at the research, vitamin A is directly correlated with lifespan, right? The more people have the optimal ratio of vitamin A in their system, the longer they live. The lower that ratio gets, the shorter their lifespan. Vitamin A is kind of important.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of important. Yeah. And the bioavailable source in nature, how we've been doing it the longest, organ meats. Same thing, B12. This is where you're going to find B12. That all the benefits you hear about, you know, people getting B12 shots on the sidelines or whatever for energy, this is actually one of the most viable sources. Also, phosphorus, folic acid. But there's just a couple of things. But specifically vitamin A, that's one of the real big ones that I would want people to pay attention to.
Sean, I just want to talk to you a little bit about sleep, because I know you've got your book out. Just looking at my own improved sleep over the last kind of 12 months, kind of things that you've spoken about when I've heard you, especially I heard you on the Rich Roll podcast speaking about removing the TV from your room, not using devices close to bedtime, exercising in the morning, etc. Now, I don't expect you to give all 21 strategies away on the podcast, but is there any couple of strategies that are a little bit more unusual that you might be able to share with the audience?
We already went to organ meats. You want to go unusual still, man. This is
something this different, is tough, man. We got a point of difference.
I see how you guys party. All right.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, I want to give a low-hanging fruit for everybody first. And I let people know about this as much as I possibly can because it's so simple and it's so valuable. As you mentioned, there's 21 strategies. These are all clinically proven strategies. And for each one of them, I give action steps, like how do you actually implement it into your life with some specific implementation action steps for each thing. And so a super low-hanging fruit that anybody can utilize to improve their sleep quality. This was really brought forth most recently, but this is something we've known about for a long time. But Appalachian State University did a study where they had exercises to train it three different times, all right, through the course of the study. So in one phase of the study, they exclusively worked out in the morning, all right, 7 a.m., that was it. That's when they worked out. Second phase of the study, they worked out at 1 p.m., right in the middle of the afternoon. Third phase of the study, they had them work out at 7 p.m. in the evening. And through this process, they tracked all the numbers they could with their sleep, all right. At the end of the study, they discovered that the morning exercisers, so people who were exercising at 7 a.m., spent more time in the deepest, most anabolic stages of sleep. They had more efficient sleep cycles, which this is the real key here. It's not sleeping longer, necessarily. It's more so you going through your normal sleep cycle. So the sleep you do get, you actually get rejuvenated and produce the enzymes and hormones that you're trying to get when you're laying down at night. So they have more efficient sleep cycles. And also a little bonus, they had a 25% greater drop in their blood pressure at night. Morning exercisers had a greater drop in their blood pressure at night. That's interesting. Like, what does that even mean is related to sleep? Well, that drop in blood pressure is correlated with an activation of your parasympathetic nervous system. This is your, quote, rest and digest nervous system. And it's the opposite. It turns off your fight or flight nervous system, your sympathetic nervous system. It's a binary system. It's either off or on. So you can get a uptick in that rest and digest system turning on by getting in some morning exercise, right? Now, here's how we implement this. Does this mean you can't work out later in the day? Absolutely not. You know, I'm actually about to go to the gym in a little bit myself. It's getting close to afternoon here.
Yeah.
And so, but you do want to get that morning exercise in because it does something. It's called a cortisol reset. That's how it works. It gets your cortisol peaked in the morning so it can get onto a natural cortisol cycle where it drops and gradually bottoms out in the evening. So clinically, what I would see, and we call them clinically tired and wired, is where people's cortisol levels would be too low in the morning and too high at night. And so every day they had this huge struggle just getting out of the bed every morning. And then at night they're just totally awake. And they're like, I know I should be getting to sleep. I don't want to feel bad in the morning. But they're just up. They're wired, right? So that morning exercise helps to do a cortisol reset, all right? Now, what do we need to do here? This could be the time that you hit the gym, sure. But I would recommend at least get 5 to 10 minutes of exercise in the morning, like in that first 30 minutes of you waking up. And so that could be 4 minutes of Tabata and then maybe some stretching. That could be just go for a quick power walk around your block. Mm-hmm. I would love the Rebounder. That's what I use most days. Is jumping on this mini trampoline. NASA, you know, literal rocket scientists said that this is like the best form of exercise for humans because it increases bone density and muscle density more so than running, you know, is what they were testing. And this is back in the 80s. It's been out, this information. So bottom line is get some time and then. Now, here's the other problem, though, is that even though you can get this huge uptick in your sleep quality by doing what we're talking about, if you do that and then you sit there at night and it's 1 o'clock and you're watching Luke Cage on Netflix at 1 o'clock in the morning and eating like, you know, Haagen-Dazs,
yeah,
you're going to screw. It's like it's not going to work as well, obviously, you know. So for people who's like, well, I do more workout in the morning, but it doesn't improve my sleep. But then, you know, also it's these other things that we need to talk about. So you guys said, you know, some things that are a little bit unique. So I'll give you a couple of those. One of the things that really surprising for a lot of people is just how much body work can improve your sleep quality. So what does that even mean? So I'm talking about massage therapy. I'm talking about acupuncture.
Yep.
I'm talking about acupressure. I'm talking about even foam rolling, you know, like all these things that have become kind of popular. A few decades ago, there was no such thing as a massage studio. Right now, they're like everywhere, franchise, because people are getting this relaxation response that we really need. And so in the book, and I think, have you guys had Kelly Starrett on the show?
Yes.
Yeah, we have.
I think I saw
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kelly, when we talked, he was like, you know, Sleep Smarter is a book he recommends to all his people. But he was like, he would want to add one more strategy for people, which was the body work. And this was before I published this with Rodale, you know, the big publisher. Yeah. And so I took his word for it, man. And I went into the research and really found out why, because he gave examples like, you know, just kind of, experiential anecdotes about his experience with, you know, body work and sleep. And I went into the science and really dig around and find out how it works. So in the research, massage, and this is clinically proven, everything I'm about to say, massage therapy improves all of these things. These are obvious. Improved mobility, improved symptoms of anxiety and depression, and also improved a reduction of stress hormones. Okay? Now, what are some other things? Normalization of blood pressure, reduction of inflammatory cytokines, reduced pain. These are all things that influence your sleep quality, right? And then if you actually look at some of the studies, so is there actually anything done to find out whether or not this process is going to work for people? And there's actually a form of massage called acupressure massage specifically that I talk about in Sleep Smarter. And there was a study done. This was the Department of Radiotherapy and Oncology. And this was done in Italy. All right, and I'm getting pumped about it, so I'm like a little bit excited. All right, because I don't talk about this much.
Yeah, my girlfriend is an Eastern medicine you know, doctor. So acupuncture, basically integrated everything, you know, the CEO Integrated Health Alliance, like incorporating, you know, natural ways. So go on. We're excited too.
There you go. So here's this is what they found in this particular study. And they found that 60% of patients with sleep disorders had dramatic improvement in sleep quality after 2 weeks of acupressure treatment. Wow. All right, 60%. It's not even remotely close to Ambien. All right, Ambien doesn't even compare. And plus, without side effects. Now, the specific point that they were manipulating is called the HT7 acupressure point. Which is on your wrist, and there's like a diagram, whatever. You can go to Google, look it up, but there's a diagram in the book. But here's the thing is that your body has its own internal system. We talked about this kind of earlier with the nervous system, and it can respond to this manipulation and care and self-care and paying attention to your body. So that's one of the more unique things. And then Kelly, when we were talking, his clinical name for it is gut smashing, all right? It was getting down on one of those, like, I don't know. We, like, straight up Walmart should send us a check because I'm going to say Walmart again. Oh, no. But at Walmart, they have those, like, plastic balls, like, that kids kick around or whatever. And, like, so laying on one of those and, like, putting your body down on it on your stomach and moving around, kind of having that work in your musculature, and how powerful that was to instantly activate your parasympathetic nervous system. And I was like, okay, that sounds really interesting and it makes sense. But, and then I looked deeper into it, and what's going on there is, like, you can actually kind of touch the interface of your vagus nerve, which your vagus nerve connects your stomach to your brain. And what research shows is that 90% of the data connecting that vagus nerve is from your stomach to your brain, not the other way around. So, like, what's going on in your stomach literally manipulates and does and activates functions in your brain. And one of those functions being, you know, changing your sleep quality, for example. And so that's one of the things he recommended. And one other thing that I want to share with you guys and everybody listening is, because this made me think about it when I think about the gut. This was one of my favorite chapters to write, which was to fix your gut, to fix your sleep. And in this particular chapter, I talk about good sleep nutrients, and that's a term a lot of people haven't heard before. And these are specific nutrients that are precursors or direct influence on sleep-related hormones, neurotransmitters. All right, there's even foods that have melatonin in them, like cherries, for example. The highest source of melatonin you're going to find in a food. So, but you're generally not going to find very high amounts of these things, but you'll find precursors to melatonin. You know, things that are serotonin precursors, like tryptophan. Chocolate has some of those precursors. But also, in relationship to what's going on with your gut, this is huge, guys. This is huge. Listen, when we hear the word melatonin, what I was taught in school was not accurate. I was taught that your melatonin is produced by your pineal gland. End of story. What the latest research shows is that there's 400 times more melatonin in your gut tissue than in your brain. I didn't say 400 times. Like, the whole show of this sleep thing, a lot of that is happening in your belly, which sounds totally crazy. So it's like, if you're throwing Doritos down there, you're going to impact your sleep quality.
Yeah.
Right? Everything you put in there is going to impact what your body's doing as far as it's processing with sleep. So that's number one. Number two, upwards of 90%+ of your serotonin, which is a melatonin precursor, is also located in your gut tissue. And serotonin is a very well-known anti-stress neurotransmitter. It's even called an antidepressant. It's used medically as an antidepressant. You know, we like use serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SRIs, to treat depression. You know, and most of that is in your belly. You know, so we're starving for nutrition. We're starving for real love. You know, like the foods that we're putting into our body literally impacts our mood. It impacts our mental perception. It impacts our sleep quality. And there's really nothing, I will argue this, and we can look at the research. Your sleep quality impacts your body and your performance, your physical presence, your body constitution, more so than your diet and your exercise combined. And last thing I'll share really quick, this study, University of Chicago, they had dieters on a calorie-restricted diet, monitoring everything. They tracked their results, getting 8.5 hours of sleep. Another part of the study, they had the same exact diet, and they sleep-deprived them, so now they're only getting 5.5 hours of sleep. At the end of the study, they found that when they were getting adequate amounts of sleep, they lost 55% more body fat. Jeez. 55% more body fat. Not weight, but fat. Hmm. By simply getting more sleep. And what I'm here to really let the world know and to move into culture is the fact that it's not about sleeping more. Because you can get 9 hours of really crappy sleep and not get the result. It's sleeping smarter. It's really making sure that we're optimizing our sleep cycle. And that's some of the things that we've been talking about as far as eating good sleep nutrients, making sure that we're doing that little bit of exercise and movement in the morning, doing a little bit of body work, and then we can get into so many more components that we could talk about here. But I think that that's a lot of value, hopefully, that people are getting from that.
For sure, Sean. I know your time is limited and valuable, and we're definitely going to have you on for part two because we didn't get a chance to touch base on your show. I wanted to talk about sensory deprivation, the pineal gland, but there's already so many things that we could chat about again. We do want to ask a little personality question that we ask all of our guests. If Sean Stevenson was having a dinner party, you get to invite 5 people. They could be dead or alive, but they can't be any friends or family. Who's Sean Stevenson inviting to dinner?
Oh, man. That is... Oh, man. I'm just going to tell you, it's popped up in my mind, man. The first person that popped into my mind was somebody who was like a mentor from afar for me. It was Peter Ragnar. And if people want to check him out online, it's Peter Ragnar. And he's just this brilliant, self-made everything, you know. And he like built his own home like in the Rocky Mountains. And he's like this kind of eternally young sage, you know, like nobody really knows exactly how old he is. Such a wealth of knowledge. He's been in all these martial arts books and nutrition and all this stuff. And so I definitely want to have him there. Dr. Bruce Lipton, I'd love for him to be there, the author of The Biology of Belief. Just absolutely changed my entire world, my entire paradigm. I would love to have... Man, this is tough. These are, okay, dead or alive. All right.
You got 3 more.
Okay, I think Gandhi would be fascinating to talk to if he was there.
Yep.
Who else? Oprah. Gotta have Oprah.
Ooh, yeah, you can.
And lastly, let me think of like a crush from when I was little or something. Let me think.
About to give away your age here.
Right. Hey, she was on shows when I was a kid. I'm going to have to go with Janet Jackson.
Oh,
Penny.
Yes.
She played Penny on Good Times.
Sure.
Yeah. So that would be it.
Sean, thanks so much for your time today. Just before you go, if people want to purchase the book or follow you online or check you out on your website, what's the best way they can do that?
Sure, yeah. So I think we mentioned this earlier, but my big platform and where most people know me from is my show, The Model Health Show. So The Model Health Show, and you can check that out anywhere that you listen to podcasts. I'm very honored to say we've been number one in the U.S. dozens and dozens and dozens of times in health and fitness and nutrition. And you can check me out anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, you can check it out online, themodelhealthshow.com. So it's themodelhealthshow.com. We also have videos there. You can find my book there, all my social media, and just connect with me that way. And also, for the book itself, for Sleep Smarter, you can go to sleepsmarterbook.com. There's a cool little bonus there. We've got a bonus video series with the book if people buy the book through there. But you can get it from anywhere, Amazon. Which we just actually, I don't think I even told you guys this, but it just came out in Australia like 2 weeks ago or something, which is crazy. So you can pick it up there Amazon, your local bookstores, independent bookstores, anywhere that you buy your books, you can find Sleep Smarter. And thank you guys for having me on and asking such great questions. It's been an honor.
No, it's definitely going to be a part two if you're up for it, because like Johnny said, I've got a list.
Yeah, man.
And I need to get you back.
Hey, guys, I'm down, man. Definitely. Let's make it happen.
You enjoy your weekend. You have a good day, Sean. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
We'll chat soon, man.
Guys, hope you enjoyed that with Sean Stevenson. What me and Johnny are thinking maybe of doing now, maybe just
having a chat between our kind of breakfast, snacks, lunch, dinners, maybe just giving you an insight on to how we kind of eat, and give you some ideas that you can try for yourself.
Before I go, I'm going to put disclaimer, quote unquote, I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not saying whatever I'm going to tell you I eat to go do. It works for me. As I tell all my clients, and as you tell your clients, figure out what works for you. What we can do, though, is provide you with some framework on the do's and don'ts of nutrition, because that's the toughest part, guys. Moving the body is hard, but staying on a consistent, healthy eating routine is really, really, really tough. So for me, you know, I'm pretty systematic. I wake up every morning at 4:45.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, first thing that goes in my body, I take an all-natural green supplement, company out of Sydney, Australia. I would plug them, but their customer service is awful, but their product is amazing. And it's 88 different fruits, vegetables, probiotics, and enzymes.
Yep.
And it's in a powdered format, and it's a vegan supplement. So that in water. And then I'll also take an awesome brand out of New Zealand. It's a practitioner-only brand called Metagenics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a magnesium supplement, powdered as well, in water. And what I've learned from people smarter than me in regards to magnesium, and I think a lot of vitamins and subs, if you can, take it in the powdered format, because when they compress, I know sometimes magnesium is a compressed tablet.
Yep.
You lose a lot of the key nutrients in that process. So I'll do that. I'll have some sort of health, like Musi morning bar, something on the healthy side, nothing like a granola bar. And then I'll be out the door, get to the gym, do sessions from like 5:30, 6 in the morning till about 9. Then I'll have I eat like a bird, man. I'll have a hard boiled egg. I'll have whole fat yogurt with some, Musi on top,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll have raw cashews. By this time, I've already drinking about 3 bottles of water. It's 9 a.m. I'll go back in the gym. I'll train till about 11, shower, sauna. I'll do some sessions from maybe 12 to 1:30, 12 to 2, depending on the day. And then I'll have a salad, usually like a Caesar salad. And then I'll write, work on some business. By this time, I'll be home 5, 6 o'clock, and then I'll have dinner. And dinner is not scripted. I don't count calories. That meal is usually some sort of beans, lentils. I'll do some sort of chicken in a skillet.
Yep.
With some coconut oil. I like cooking with coconut oil. Guys, if you're out there cooking with olive oil, be aware when that olive oil is heated, it changes properties, and a fat molecule, trans fat, will then form, and it becomes super bad for you. So if you do have olive oil in your diet, eat it at room temperature. Use it in salads. Don't cook with it. Yeah, how about you,
Tiki?
That's
a good point. Actually,
I learned that through...
That coconut oil, it's...
expensive.
It's actually it is expensive, but...
It's that boy.
I actually found it for $5 at Aldi the other day, so...
They got the Aldi out here?
Yeah, Aldi, yeah.
That save that a
Aldi
lot.
Boy.
Yeah, that discount boy.
But, yeah, you actually... Until you actually start cooking with it, the flavors in the actual coconut oil is beautiful.
I feel that, like, sometimes when I cook with it with the spray, I can't ever tell how much I put in.
Now you got to get the, what's it called? The jar one, man.
There's a jar one?
There's a jar
so
one.
So you have to scoop it out?
You scoop it out.
So it's not like...
You kind of like spread it on your steak, or you can put it in your pan.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, that... And also, if, you know, listening to the people who are interested with the nutrition, here's the best way to simplify. This is what I tell my clients. If you want to get started eating healthy, first thing you do, identify what you're eating, write it down, but then if it has a label, don't eat it. So if you have to read it, don't eat it, because it's not real.
Mm.
And that's how I simplify it. You know, that Musi bar in the morning is pretty much the only thing I'll eat with a label.
And it's simple. If you want to make it nice and simple.
There you go. It's tough. But yeah, I feel that's a big hole in the education system. When I was a kid in America, we were actually taught to read nutritional labels.
Well, I guess if you stick to those principles, you're going to be eating a lot of fruit and vegetables.
Real food, right?
A lot of kind of meats,
whole foods.
Everything's going to pretty much just be from the environment, not processed or anything.
Man-made.
Like that. Yeah.
And I feel that, like, that's where the issue is. I shouldn't, man, I'm not going to, if I have kids, I'm not going to tell them to read nutritional labels. I'm going to say, you're not eating that because it's not real. How about yourself? What do you think?
So I wake up very similar time. I'm up in the early mornings, around 5 o'clock as well. I like to start with a shake. My shake will consist of almond milk, some whey protein, a greens formula. So I do, I agree with you with the greens formula. I have found a really good one as well. But at the end of the day, sometimes you don't get all your greens in sometimes during the day. So it is good to start the day knowing that you started on the right foot, you know what I mean?
I should run and grab my product right now and read the stuff that's in the supplement is crazy.
Yeah.
Like four different blends of ancient mushrooms, reishi for focus, quadriceps is a form of mushrooms, but then like beets, licorice, everything that you could think of is in that supplement.
Yeah. I think my one's a little bit more simple. It's only got four or five.
Okay.
That's one I get from Bulk Nutrients.
Is it chlorophyll?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Okay. Really dark. Guy, if it's the darker, the better.
Yeah, it is very dark, man. Yeah. But what else I put in it is some blueberries, some bananas, some chia seeds, and also now puts, after listening to Joe DeFranco.
I was going to say, is that Joe D's? That sounds like Joe D's.
A little bit of peanut butter, scoop of peanut butter, and also put some cappuccino powder in there.
Cappuccino powder, what is this?
So instead of, you know, one of those instant coffees?
Yeah.
I just put it in the shake instead.
So it's just coffee?
Yeah, it's coffee.
That's interesting. So that's how you get your kick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little bit in the morning, and then by the time I walk to work, it's kind of kicked in, and I've got plenty of energy to give my clients for those first few hours. So that's something I like, and it's easy to digest, so I don't feel full while I'm on the floor. And like yourself, I probably train in the gym between 6 to 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then I have a little break. At the moment, I'm doing some finance work, so
dude, you're savage. Tristan is an animal.
A few hours, but my first meal will usually consist on maybe. So I like smoked salmon.
Yep,
big fan of smoked salmon.
Are you?
So I'll have that with probably a couple of hard boiled eggs.
Yep,
and some spinach. That's usually meal number one. Around lunchtime, I like chicken. At the moment, I've gone towards chicken thigh.
Ooh.
And what that will mean was
because I used to eat
a lot of chicken breast. Yeah, it is high fat.
But it's so now good.
I don't eat avocado with it because I used to eat avocado with my chicken breast to have my fat.
Yep.
My fat content, but the chicken thigh's got enough fat in it to actually make up for that. So I usually have that with some greens. So in terms of greens, broccoli or green beans, sometimes depending on my day, if I've trained already or I'm training after, I'll usually have some. I like to do some mash, sweet potato. And a little trick to make it taste the better and get a little bit more healthy fats in there. I like using Nutlex. My brother showed me that.
The hell was a Nutlex, boy?
Nutlex.
I never heard of a Nutlex.
Get you some. Just give us some.
Man, what's up, man? I got that Nutlex for you, player. Man, what is a Nutlex?
Nutlex X.
Oh. X. I thought you said Nutlex.
Nah, Nutlex, man. You find it mostly.
It's just way off. Not you. I don't know you.
But yeah, just give a little bit more flavor to your sweet potato.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
Do you still have your book up on your site, the menu?
No, I had to take it off for the time being.
Okay.
They have to buy that now.
Okay, that book plug. that's value, his meal book. I like it.
In the arvo, I like to have a handful of almonds and an apple. I like apples. Just,
fiber. Yeah, very good.
Fiber. I like the taste. A little bit of carbs before I go back to the gym. After I come back from the gym, probably something I want to start eliminating is probably a little bit more red meat out of the diet.
Yeah. Like I said, I never eat it, man.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't digest. It always messes with me. And then, like, hearing Sean talk about the organ meat, vitamin A, the vagus nerve. I can't wait to study the vagus nerve, man. Or originating in the gut, connecting to the brain. But, yeah, the red meat, man. Yeah, I know it's beneficial, a lot of iron, a lot of minerals, high in protein.
I guess that's how it gets to us, right?
Maybe that's it then, because, you know what, and the last time I had it, was at my favorite, the Massilaria in Bondi, man, this place is awesome, and I had been there before, I would always get the chicken thighs, and it's one of these places, it's like a butcher, you got and to do...
cook your own in there? Is that
you, not at this one, but the one in The Rocks, you cook your own. I actually went there yesterday with some of the boys, DK and... shout out to Shawboy, Rawboy, but the Massilaria is you pick the meat and then they cook it for you. And I wonder if it's like, if it was their cooking process, but man, when I eat steak, I'm bloated, my stomach hurts, I'm a little bit cunty.
Yeah.
You know, it just ruins my whole day.
A little cunty.
Yeah, there you go. Aussies love that word, by the way.
I love that word, man.
It's like so a term of endearment.
I'll have that with some greens again. I like to rotate between kind of my red meats, your normal salmons, barramundi, A little bit of chicken.
Yeah, what were you preparing when we were at your house doing notes for?
That was just some chicken thighs because I knew I'd be back, so I just wanted
to. That's what you did.
Just some chicken thighs.
Man, was just marinating chicken thighs, boy. They smell good. Yeah.
And then.
I didn't realize you love cooking.
After that, I didn't like cooking.
All right, here, guys, please pressure him to do this. I'm going to also put him on the spot for this. Do a YouTube, like, cooking thing.
Cooking show?
Yeah, or not even a show. Just, I didn't realize you loved cooking like this.
I do.
Holy cow. You never cook for me.
My mom's like an excellent cook, man, coming from a Mauritian background.
What is traditional Mauritian? Isn't that French cuisine?
It is a little bit French. There's some Creole in there.
Ooh, Creole, like Louisiana, like gumbo.
Exactly right.
That's Mauritian?
Not gumbo, but they've got their own
stuff. Jambalaya sort of stuff?
Similar, but they call it kind of different names.
What do you guys call it?
You know, I didn't know these in French, but I'm sure I'm just going to butcher them all, so I won't say them. But there's also that, but there's also a big Indian influence in Mauritius, so a lot of curries and things come out of that country. So
I'm interested in seeing you cook, man.
Mix.
Put you on the spot. One day I will. I want to see you in an apron.
Johnny's girlfriend's away, so I think
he's... Yeah, Lenny's in China. She's in China for 12 weeks. I'm acting a little bit weird. But seriously, guys, the nutrition part is the toughest part of the game, man. That's a little bit of a good outlying platform of what Tristan and I eat. I'm not perfect. Tristan's definitely not perfect, but don't expect to be.
Yeah,
but at least
have some dark chocolate, man.
I love chocolate. That's my work. That's my worst.
Peppermint tea sometimes works as a good
digestive.
So I like a little bit of that during the day after my meal. So if you're having a few digestion problems, maybe try some peppermint tea. So
yep. For sure.
Anything else? Green tea sometimes on occasion. That does bloat me a little bit, though, so I'm kind of sticking away from that.
All right.
Do you drink coffee?
No. I gave it up. I'm all about law of subtraction right now in my life, and coffee I love. And Sydney has an amazing coffee culture. But what I was finding is I was drinking it every day, and for some reason, this is me explaining it with some bro science. I'm a visual learner.
Mm.
So when I would drink coffee, I would feel how it looks. I would feel dirty when I would drink it. I was explaining this to another coach. She couldn't believe it. I was like, yeah, because it's dark, I would drink and it would make me feel dirty. It was weird. I would wear it, I guess. And that was one of the reasons. And then I was drinking like three a day, so I just cut it out. I haven't drank coffee probably in 2 years.
Yeah.
But I love it. Dude, the smell, everything's good about it.
I probably have, my caffeine in the morning, in my shake, and then probably one during the day. But I try to do everything before 12 o'clock.
So. How much? I see you got a bottle of water there. That's one thing we have to make sure we outline and talk about. Water is so important. I probably drink, your standard bottle of water. I probably drink 10 of those a day.
Yeah, I'm probably looking at 5 liters probably a day.
Yeah, liter. How much?
So I reckon if you're doing 10 little bottles, you're probably doing about 6 liters, man.
Yeah, we're always carrying water around, and that's so important too with regulating your digestive system, your hunger.
I'll probably do 3 when I train.
Yeah. Okay.
In 90 minutes that I train, I reckon I'll have 3 easily.
But it's also one of these things I find when, like, if I'm eating super clean, I don't crave the shit. But, like, if I'm traveling or if I'll have, like, a schnitty, because Lenny loves schnitties, I'll have one on a Friday. They're deep fried in oil, but they're delicious.
Once every blue moon.
See, what happens with me, though, if I order one Friday night, I want one Saturday, Sunday, it's tough for me.
That can be raw.
Yeah, Sean Stevenson, man, there's so much stuff. We had so much more to talk about. I wanted to talk to him, like I said, about, the isolation tanks. The organ meat, we could have talked just for one episode.
I'm interested to try that. What do you reckon, man?
I like chicken hearts, man. I've had chicken hearts, actually, with you.
Yeah, barbecue.
Yeah, we went to a Brazilian barbecue.
What else, man?
Of the organ meat?
Yeah.
Man, I've yet to try brain, but I'm not. I just liver is just nasty. I like how Sean said, though. He said he had a butcher in the Loo, where Australians, we call St. Louis the Loo. That's our little slang.
Puts a little bit of hot sauce on it.
No, but he said that the butcher will take he'll take liver, he'll put it all into a sausage.
Yeah,
I would try that for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
But like the brain, I've never tried. And liver, it's been a long time. But some cultures, is it the Irish who love liver and onions? It's part of the thing.
Irish, I might have to check with them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, man.
Okay. But yeah, so I know the value there. And the vitamin A thing, I didn't know there were 4 types of vitamin A. I didn't know it was linked to longevity. All these things Sean was giving us are just bombs, man.
But it's just great to experiment and have something to turn to. A way, we both spoke about red meat, maybe... No, I'm going to try chicken hearts
and then
I'll even try liver. Like, I'll give it a crack.
The thing about athletes too, training, everyone is so like, I was always thinking that, meat is the only way to go. But then you talk to a guy like Rich Roll, who does ultra endurance events, and when you eat meat, it causes the body to, it causes inflammation. When you're training, your body's inflamed. So the argument to that is, don't eat the vegan, right, mate, yeah. The plant-based person would say, don't eat meat because your body's already inflamed. It's going to limit the growth and it's going to limit the recovery.
Yeah.
So that it's, there's so much to learn.
Plant-based stuff would kind of be interesting too, just to experiment for a couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, like we're in our, you know, we're experimenting with a new studio right now. We're surrounded by nature, like through the windows, and you could tell that it's right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Nice, like, natural and peaceful.
But so. The plants, though, also when you're eating them, you could tell that it's right. Like you're not.
Yeah, right.
You don't feel slow. Right, yeah. I've never been bloated, and but I just think it's tough sometimes to eat healthy, you know. So, but once you're empowered and once you're educated on it, you can't say you didn't know. That's what we're trying to do here: is give you an outline of what to do, what not to do, and simplify it. If it has a label, man, stop eating that shit.
Definitely. So we've given you a few different things for you guys to try. Before we leave, just remember, check out our quick ebook, our free ebook, which is on our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. It's on the homepage, also /ebook. It's our abs guide. Me and Johnny, we use this every week. And also, we've put a sample meal plan for you so you can, you know, just experiment, plus also use what we've just spoken about, and also some of the tips that Sean also brought during the show. And I'm sure you'll get those apps popping.
Yeah, guys, and if you're interested, our second sponsor, if you're interested in like a lot of the, we're talking plant-based supplements, natural vegan products, Onnit has a lot of those.
Yeah.
So go to our page, visionboardpodcast.com/Onnit. You'll check out all their products, New Mood, Alpha Brain, the proteins, Dolce Whey, the Buffalo Bars, the MCT oils, the Gorilla Primate kettlebells are super popular. The Lays, the shoulder rotation,
the bar.
Yeah, it looks like a sword.
Yeah.
But it's a what do they call maces? It's a mace. I'm interested in that. My baseball background with shoulder mobility. But they have a bunch of videos with not only their subs, but their equipment. And, you know, they get scientists backing them. If you want to learn more, check our site out. Whatever you're purchasing, we have a code word, Vision Board, to receive 10% off of all your purchases.
Definitely, guys. So take that up. For the Australian fans, you know, I order all the time. Johnny orders all the time. So shipping's actually pretty good. Like, I think I ordered a box of Buffalo and some Alpha Brain. I think shipping was about $8, and it took about 10 days to get to my doorstep from the day that I ordered. So it is quite a quick turnaround, and like I said, it's pretty cost effective. So if you've only just been using Australian brands, like I said, Onnit's one of the best companies in America. It's something that me and Johnny use, so it might be something that you might want to branch out and try yourself.
And if you're a coach out there listening, we have a lot of coaches, just what I recommend is get some of your boys on board. If you're a girl, some of your girls, some of your clients, and put a big order in, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to order one and you'll be like, damn, man, I should have got more. Trust me, Alpha Brain, New Mood sort of things for focus and clarity. The proteins are Dolce Whey. They got a hemp protein. I like, you know, all natural vegan. Get some t-shirts. I think I'm going to get the mace, because there's this dude that I follow on my Instagram. He's been doing these videos. And shoulder mobility, you know, ever since Jody introduced us to the science behind the resistance bands, mm-hmm. I've watched my shoulders get stronger and healthier. And, you know, I think that the mace with the videos I've been watching could add a different dynamic to my mobility. So I don't even know what they cost, but I know they're on the site.
Yeah, the bands are absolutely ridiculous when you think bend pull-aparts.
Yeah, I do them every day.
Mobility drills that you can do.
It's my active recovery.
I actually feel a bit better than pressing. So
for sure. Yeah. Like, in between everything, I have my band. The thin yellow one, and I'm always
yellow boy. I think that's a perfect size too.
For sure,
you can double it up to make it bigger.
Yep,
bring it in.
Yep,
and it's a perfect size.
You could do shoulder dislocations, so you could do in front and then behind the shoulders, which is excellent. Because the broomstick shoulder mobility exercise, I don't like.
You don't like it?
I don't like the restricted movement. I like the band because I have a little bit of leeway.
A little bit less impact, isn't it?
Yeah, it's way less, man. For sure, it's not as like restricted. And I think that broom, attracts a certain type of gym member too.
That broom boy.
Yeah, well, you think that broom falls in line with the people who'd walk into the gym with a huge bag, powder everywhere, wristbands. They got powerlifting shoes, but they're doing Olympic lifts. They got. And then I'm ranting.
I'm not even sure what he's talking about right now, but
I'm clowning. I'm clowning. I'm
clowning a few players. Yeah.
For sure.
Johnny, a great episode to share with you. Next online, we've got Rich Roll, and we've also got Robert Green. So, guys, check that out in the coming days.
For sure, man. These are two guys I can't wait to talk to. Rich Roll, check his podcast out. Also, Robert Greene, if you don't know, you definitely 48th Law of Power, Art of Seduction, mm-hmm. the book he did with 50, saying 50, you hot. They yeah, like me. Man. I want them to love me like they love Pac.
He's an interesting guy, man.
He is, man. This dude.
You got athletes and shit quoting him. Chris Bosh quotes him all the fucking time.
Not only, but rappers, hip hop, because he's huge with power, man.
Oh, Kanye put him in a song, didn't he?
For sure. The dude's pop culture, man. Robert Greene, he's not that old, but the fascinating thing about it is he's not been doing it for that long. He's had such a huge impact in a short amount of time.
One of the best out there, guys.
For sure.
So stay tuned. Remember, subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and support the cause, Johnny.
Yeah, find me on social media, Johnny Stofko, Instagram, Facebook, Tristan Cannell, Instagram, Facebook. Like our pages and the Vision Board on Facebook.
Guys, any questions, send them through info@thevisionboardpodcast.com and we'll check you out soon.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.